So this week we continue our Magic Kingdom talks with Fantasyland, but first Disney has released some new music in the recent weeks that Brad and I just wanted to talk a little bit about real quick.
Well, I think we didn't we touch. I feel like a couple of weeks back we talked about this new deconstructed album that was going to be coming out, and it has now been released. And I'll admit that, you know, I was really excited to hear it, and I knew the date it was going to launch, and then I proceeded to totally forget about it until you tweeted something, and I couldn't see a picture or anything, but you tweeted something about music, and immediately I thought, oh yeah, that Deconstructed album has launched, so I've got to go listen to it.
I tweeted about the Deconstructed album.
Yes, and I didn't even, and again, it was all in a link, so I didn't even know that's what you were tweeting about. but clearly we were on the same wavelength that day. But yes, now I have listened to the Deconstructed album and found out that I don't dislike EDM, but I could kind of take or leave EDM music, I guess.
So for those who don't know, Deconstructed is an album of remixes of classic Disney songs that's put out by Disney, and also EDM stands for electronic dance music.
And the guys that are the people who have made the tracks on this, the remixes, I mean, I don't know EDM. You do know EDM. These guys are pretty well known in the EDM sphere or whatever.
I'm a fan of EDM, though I'm not really like a super fan. I've heard of several of the guys that did the remixes, and I like a lot of their stuff. So I've at least seen most of them on you know, tracks and albums and stuff. But yeah, they're fairly well known remixers, air quotes.
Okay, so I guess my biggest question is, when it comes to EDM, is it really common that, I mean, there were some of those tracks that I felt like really, there were a couple of good tracks on there that pretty well captured the songs that they were remixing. And then there were other ones that it was like they sampled a little bit of the music here and there, but for the most part, it was a completely new song, and therefore it was completely unrelated to anything Disney. Again, that was my feeling, not really having a big history in this EDM stuff.
Right. So Deconstructed suffers from what most, I would say, subpar EDM remixes kind of suffer from, in that, so the, like you said, the remixer just samples a piece of the song and kind of just injects it into some music that he wrote, or she. And that, yeah, a lot of the songs on this album are other than the lyrics or that one little sample, they're unrecognizable as the song that they purport to remix, which I don't really consider to be a remix at all.
Yes.
So that's my biggest problem, and as a EDM fan, it hurts me to have to say this, but I don't like this album as a whole. My overarching thought listening to the whole thing was just why.
Why? Because EDM is popular right now and Disney likes money. You know, and again, like kind of like you said, I don't want to sound bitter, but that's, you know, and here's the thing. The reason why I say it like that is because Disney has done plenty of, you know, I think about like the Disney Mania stuff, the Bossa Nova Disney. There are so many different albums in there that have different takes, and I'll be the first to say the Disney Mania stuff sticks really, really close to the original music, and all they do is throw in a couple of current Disney stars that they want to prop up. But even, you know, those are some pretty good, slightly different takes on the classics, and then you get things like Bossa Nova Disney that are way different. But still, just I don't know, seem to seem to stick closer. You know, the thing is, if I listen to the middle of a Disney track on a lot of these other albums, I still know I'm listening to a Disney song. If I listen to the middle of a track on this Deconstructed album, I have no clue what I'm listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. So, and if you go back to, so Disney made Tron Legacy. And right. It was great. And it had a great soundtrack by Daft Punk. It was amazing. Then they went back and they did Tron Legacy Reconfigured, which was the Tron Legacy soundtrack, but remixed. And so track two, I believe, on Deconstructed is derezzed from Tron Legacy, which the Glitch Mob remixed for Tron Legacy Reconfigured, which is great. But Avicii did it for Deconstructed, and it's just completely, like, it's embarrassing. I mean, it's an Avicii song with the closest thing I can say is that it's in the same key as Derezzed.
So is there like a quick sample of Derezzed somewhere in there to tie it back, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's so distorted and remixified, I guess, that it's like, it's really hard. I had to listen really close because I love Derezzed. And so I started playing this song and there's like female vocals in it. And it's like, it's almost like Avicii said, I wrote this song and it's really good. And I can just put a little bit of a computery, you know, Tron tone in it. And I can put it on this album and call it Derezzed.
And collect my paycheck, or
right.
Or get, you know, just get my name out there to a probably slightly different audience, because there is, you know, inevitably this is going to attract those who enjoy EDM like yourself, but it's also going to attract people like me that, you know, probably have heard a few EDM tracks here and there, but are going to be drawn to this because it has Disney stuff on it, and there are some, you know, Disney tracks, and that's that cross mix. And I think that's probably a big reason why some of these people would want to be on this album. It's just kind of sad that it sounds like it's not really hitting either group, because, you know, me as the listening to it strictly as the Disney fan, I didn't really find it overwhelmingly great. And you as the EDM fan didn't really sound like you had a lot of good takeaways from it either.
Right. And you, I want to know, you as someone who is familiar with music and can mix a good, you know, mix on a soundboard and stuff. They started the album with Circle of Life, and it's like literally a minute and a half of just straight, no changes, Circle of Life.
Yes. Yeah. And so you start off going, what's supposed to be different here? What's going on?
And then it does probably my least favorite remix thing, where it does the that, it's like, that is so contrived and overdone, and it's like,
yeah,
that's all, but that's all it is.
And then it cuts off into, you know, and then it tries to cut off and go in a totally different direction, which,
right,
I don't know, but you know, something good did come out of this. It finally convinced us to buy the Ukulele Disney album.
It did. Which, but before we
talk
about that
a little bit more,
there is one song. There's one song on Deconstructed that I am a fan of. Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yes, and I think that's because Main Street Electrical Parade lends itself so well to this genre.
My only problem with Main Street Electrical Parade is it's at the 2 minute and 20 second mark when the actual Main Street Electrical Parade tune comes in. And after that, it's a really fun kind of EDM based thumpy Main Street Electrical Parade song, and it's really good. But yeah, the source material really lends itself well to being dancey.
But like you said, even then you have to listen till two, what did you say? 2 minutes, 20 seconds before you get there. And, right. And I remember that was another one of those tracks where I listened to it and I said, okay, where's the Disney in this? Where's the, oh, there's Main Street Electrical Parade. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I can't attach this to something I've actually heard before.
Yeah. That, yes.
So
onto get the onto one track. Album that's really good. Ukulele Disney. It is. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, which is actually not even a kind of new album because it was released in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of the and here's the thing. After Ukulele Disney was something that actually came onto my radar. I don't even remember how, but it's been there for quite a while. And you brought up, you know, Deconstructed, and we started talking about it, and I brought this to your attention, and you were immediately like, dude, we have to get this. But unfortunately, it is a Japanese release. Yeah. It is an import-only release, and somehow from 2012 to 2014 has never seen a release anywhere except for Japan.
Not on American iTunes, not on anything.
Yeah, and I have spent a ridiculous amount of time trying to find this album anywhere else. And yeah, the only way you're going to get it is importing. And I'm sorry, props to the Japanese for whenever they have to buy a CD, because that thing is like 2,100 yen in the iTunes store. So you're talking about around $20 for an album.
Yeah, well, we...
an album on iTunes, and if they want to buy it on CD, you're talking about more like, I think it's 3,000 yen. So, you know, around $30 to buy the CD.
Well, when I ordered it, the only place that has it for sale is Amazon.com.
Right.
And it was $34.
And that was a deal because
it really was.
I actually saw other places that were selling it for 40, you know, some dollars. But you know, and I just say that to highlight, whenever you get a chance, just go to the Japanese iTunes store. You can, you know, switch your computer over to that store and get the Katakana for Disney. You know, just go to Google Translator and translate from English to Japanese the word Disney and put that in the search. They have so many albums that are, you know, that have only been released in Japan that are so awesome. I seriously find myself wanting to just head over there with an empty suitcase and a lot of money so I can load up with a lot of music over there. But yeah, so Ukulele Disney, amazing soundtrack, and it is what I look for in these things, because number one, it's not just another re-release of all the same tracks that I've heard, or all but two of the same tracks, you know, because a lot of these compilation CDs, that's what they do. They put on 8 tracks that I've heard before, and then they put on 2 remixes or different takes on the track, and you have to buy the whole CD to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually like a whole new take, all from Ukulele. And the artist does not stick directly with the song, but it's still the overarching feel to that entire track is the song that you know.
Mm-hmm. Does a really good job. It's by Jake Shimabukuro.
Nice.
Try to say that as well as I possibly can, but if you go to his website, he's quite prolific.
Yes, he's actually, from doing some research trying to find this album, he's actually quite well known in the ukulele circuit, which I really didn't even know was a thing prior to this point. But you know, now I do, and I can tell he's talented, definitely mm-hmm. very talented. But all I know is that, you know, listening to just these samples, because I'm still waiting on the CD to come in, just listening to the samples, you know, I just want to just jump in a hammock out in the shade and do nothing.
Yeah.
Just relax, you know. I want to be on the beach or something when I'm listening to this album.
And there's so much fun, you know, like you talked a little bit about how he doesn't necessarily just, you know, take the Haunted Mansion attraction audio and just reproduce it. But he makes it to where it sounds like it was written for ukulele.
Exactly.
You know, like he really He really makes it feel native to ukulele music instead of just being like, oh, he's playing that, you know. You know, sometimes you get an acoustic cover of a song and it's like, oh, you're just playing, you know, Metallica on an acoustic guitar. But he really, like,
man, yeah, it's not good. It's not just a note for note.
Right.
I took what they originally played on piano and I played it on ukulele and now buy my album.
Right.
He does some really cool stuff, but again, manages to strike that balance with creating an entirely new experience, I feel like, but at the same time, giving us the album that we want to hear.
And we do want to hear it.
That's
so
right.
So that we've purchased it and imported it from Japan.
Yep. And like I said, now I'm just going to have to fight the urge to make this the first of many import purchases. you know, I think I went to Japan. I went to Japan before this album was released, so I'm thankful that I didn't just miss it. But I remember I purchased the Haunted Mansion, the Nightmare Before Christmas, the Haunted Mansion Holiday album there at Tokyo Disney. And I remember thinking, Jeremy is now making a very ugly face at me because Jeremy doesn't like Haunted Mansion Holiday, but that's okay because I do. But anyway, I remember that album was very expensive as well. But now I just want a whole lot more Disney albums.
Do you want to get into why music is so expensive in Japan?
You know why music is so expensive in Japan?
Oh, I have no idea.
I have no clue as well. So,
but we can talk about it.
But we can surmise all day long. Not like the internet would have any information about this.
Yeah.
No, I think at this point we should gently segue from the fact that Ukulele Disney actually does include a track from one of the attractions that we will be covering today, and perhaps one of the best known attractions by even people who have never been to Disney World. And now people are crying because that song will be stuck in their head for the next 4 hours. And it is
ever.
You know what's funny is that song actually, it has quite a few different verses and stuff to it with all the different takes from different countries, but that never gets stuck in your head. All it is just that dun, 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 yeah. Dun, 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 over and over and over again. But yes, so we are talking about It's a Small World in Fantasyland.
Have you heard the original Richard and Bob Sherman soft piano version of It's a Small World before it was made into kind of a like happy?
No, I have not heard that.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I have to find it on the YouTube.
Yep.
Okay.
The YouTube.
Well, it is no longer soft and piano-y. Now it is the peppy trip around the world while looking at lots and lots of different dolls and sitting in boats. And you know what? I think it's actually a good attraction.
I've never been on it.
You've never been on it. So sad.
Oh my gosh, I know. I am literally the worst. I am the worst person.
So have you never been on this one or the one in Disneyland, or are we talking about just the Walt Disney World one?
No, I've like never been on it at all.
Oh, that's just pitiful. I mean, and I say that because even as a, you know, regardless of the attraction side of it, again, it screams classic Disney.
Mm. I know. I feel terrible. Now that one has a ride vehicle like Indiana Jones, right?
What? Which
is
Indiana
that,
Jones?
Is that way too? That was a callback. Remember when I thought Dinosaur had a boat ride?
I do remember you saying that. I was really hoping that. Oh, sometimes that makes me sad. But yes, no,
this It's a Small World is on a boat.
This is on a boat. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to deal with the fact that you've never been on this attraction because, I mean, you're also talking about Mary Blair, who, you know, did such iconic designs for Disney, you know, was kind of the art director of this whole thing. And it plays out because you definitely see her touch on everything in the bright, the vibrant colors, just the way everything is designed. And I will be the first to say that I prefer the Disneyland version simply because it's outdoors and you have that huge facade as you walk up to it. But that being said, I understand why they can't do that at Walt Disney World. The weather's a lot more violent in Orlando at times. Mm-hmm. And so, but they still do a good job of trying to put a lot of that facade inside as you walk up to the attraction.
I think the outside of the building mm-hmm. is one of the most fun parts of Disneyland.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the thing is, even if you don't go in it, you're going to walk past it and you're going to see it.
Yeah.
And there's just so much to take in, you know, especially when the clock goes off and the little characters come out and everything. And you're going to see more of the same inside, just different little audio animatronic children doll things that represent different countries throughout the world. And as you come through each area, you're going to hear It's a Small World in that language. There's not a whole lot to it, I guess, in that aspect, because that is pretty much what it is. But again, it's a fun little attraction to go on.
Definitely harkens back to what Walt loved.
Exactly. It's not a thrill ride or anything, but that's okay. It does. Not everything has to be a thrill ride all the time. But I will say that the lines on it do get long. And as a matter of fact, as we begin talking about Fantasyland, I will point out that Fantasyland, unless you have small children and you need to get out of the park by a certain time, is usually not somewhere to visit first thing in the morning, because that's when a lot of parents want to go to Fantasyland with their small children.
Yeah.
If you have the advantage of not having to plan around that, or even if you do have small children, go a little bit later in the day if you can, because it will clear out a bit past that time, except for, It's a Small World does tend to be pretty consistent. That one and then Peter Pan's Flight. Mm-hmm. Peter Pan's Flight is always a ridiculous wait time. And it's one that I don't know why it is as long as it is.
Both are Fast Pass plusable.
They are though.
Which Disney announced, I think today, that the Fast Pass Plus. Sorry to break in with more Fast Pass Plus news, but so you can do your original three, and we talked about recently that you would get a fourth.
Right.
You can actually have unlimited Fast Passes, so you can you use up your three. You can pre-book three.
Right.
And then once you've used that, you can go to a kiosk and sign up for a fourth. Once you've used that fourth, you can come back and get a fifth. And once you've used that fifth, so as long as there are openings available, and don't quote me on the unlimited one, but on the unlimited thing, but you can come back and get more. And after your initial three, the park hopping is open to you.
So, yeah, I mean, that sounds... So, basically, at this point, it is now what FastPass used to be.
Right.
You're going to a kiosk instead of actually having to go to the attraction, right, which is actually an improvement over FastPass. So, kudos to Disney for creating a very nice system there, I think, now.
And you get three pre-books.
Right. Which is head and shoulders above what you used to do, because it used to be you had them one at a time.
Right.
And you entered the park and you ran to that first. Well, mm-hmm. We don't run. You walked very quickly to that first attraction.
A brisk stroll.
That's right. A very brisk stroll to that first attraction to try to get your fast pass as quickly as you could, while then immediately going to wait in line of the first attraction that you would not be fast passing for the day. And there were... I think there are probably days when I didn't get three fast passes, but there were other days when I got five. Mm-hmm. And so I think Disney's now giving us the ability to do both, which I appreciate. So
yeah,
props to Disney for finally working that out. So yeah, so you could fast pass both of these, and if you want to ride them, it may not be the worst idea in the world. I don't know. I hate saying that when we've got the mountains that you can, that you're probably going to want to fast pass and so many other things, but
yeah, the problem with Magic Kingdom is you only get three, and there's literally like five parks in Magic Kingdom.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in case you guys haven't noticed by how long it is taking us to make it through Magic Kingdom, there is a lot of stuff to cover here. And so, yeah, I have not even determined my fast passable rides for this park. I'm waiting till our last episode of Magic Kingdom before I have to do that.
Yeah.
Just because it is that hard. But again, Peter Pan's Flight is one that is probably going to be on my list, because it is consistently over an hour, in my experience, for a wait time. And this is an attraction where the rail is above you, and you get into a boat, and you're going to use that boat to fly over different scenes from Peter Pan. And it's just, it's really cool. Again, it's an older attraction. It's not a thrill ride by any stretch, but it is a dark, you know, a classic Disney dark ride. And it's just, I love the scene near the very beginning as you fly over London, and you can see all the lights and all the houses and the river down the middle and everything. And it's just, it's so cool looking. And then, you know, you work your way through the different scenes with Peter Pan and Wendy. You know, you could see Captain Hook trying to, you know, stand and keep from dropping into the crocodile's mouth. So, yeah, it's a real fun Peter Pan-based attraction, but long, long lines all day long. So,
yeah, and I think Fantasyland is going to have some of the longest lines of the Magic Kingdom because it is such a...
It's such accessible.
Right, and it's very classic.
Yes. Yeah. So you again kind of hit that cross section of those of us, because I'm including myself in that, who really enjoy classic Disney, with those who, you know, people who aren't even that concerned with classic Disney, but have small children, things like, you know, that aren't going to go do the Haunted Mansion, that maybe even aren't going to go do Big Thunder, but we can go do It's a Small World. We can go do Peter Pan's Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that does make it much busier. And also on that side of Fantasyland, because, you know, we've walked from Haunted Mansion and all that stuff in Liberty Square, actually walked under and into Fantasyland. And of course we see It's a Small World and Peter Pan's Flight. We also have Mickey's PhilharMagic,
which I also, just by the chance that it was not running the day I was at Disneyland, I have not gotten to see Mickey's PhilharMagic,
which is also just such a cool attraction. So yes, again, you have missed out. And PhilharMagic is a 4D movie, so you get the, you know, snazzy 3D glasses, the big yellow ones that seem to be used at every 3D attraction at Disney, and you're going to watch, they're setting up for a orchestra, which of course all goes awry as Donald decides to pick up the sorcerer's hat.
Mm-hmm.
As Mickey,
obviously,
you know,
well,
Mickey walks away, Donald grabs it because he wants to be the center of attention that Mickey always is. And you're then thrown from scene to scene of Aladdin. What else are you thrown to? Under The Little Mermaid. And I want to say there may be like one or two other. Fantasia. And then there, like I said, there may be one or two other scenes, but you're thrown between these different scenes. And there are additional things like, when the brooms throw the water, or the mops throw the water in Fantasia, the water, it will, you know, you'll get hit with a little bit of water. Not enough to really, don't be concerned about your electronics or anything. But yeah, you'll get a little bit of water. Or the Beauty and the Beast scene. There's going to be, there's an apple pie that kind of floats out at you, and you can smell apple pie in the auditorium. In the Aladdin scene, as you're flying on the magic carpet, the wind is rushing past you. So all these different really cool things that just enhance that 3D experience. It's already pretty cool. Are being added on. And it makes for a very fun thing. And what's nice is the line isn't typically that long, and they can put a lot of people in that theater at one time. So you may just be standing in one place for a few minutes or something, but then when it lets out, you're going to surge forward as they fill in the theater. So, yeah. Like I said, definitely a good attraction. Definitely one to hit. Probably won't be on my FastPass Plus list simply because, again, the line does move quickly and doesn't. I don't think I've ever seen it too terribly long either.
Yeah, I had at a much lower quality 4D theater mm-hmm. at a certain ocean themed theme park in San Antonio. I was watching a 4D movie and the whatever little apparatus is on the front of the water squirter to make it a mist.
Right.
Mine was missing. And so I just got like a straight little teeny weeny little hose of water right in my face. It was awesome.
So I guess that is a chance you take when you do that. However, I've never seen that happen nor had that happen to me.
I don't think Disney would ever let that happen.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be too concerned with it, folks. If you're planning on going there, just roll the dice. You probably will not end up with a hose full of water in the face. And then, of course, also across from Mickey's Fauxhaw Magic is Pinocchio's Village House, which is actually kind of interesting. It's a counter service restaurant, but they've actually got a window in one section of it where you can overlook. It's a Small World, so you can sit and eat and actually look in on It's a Small World. And the window is thick enough that you don't typically hear the music, so you don't have to worry about that either. Pinocchio Village House stands out to me because when my sister was doing her internship at Disney, that's actually where she worked. And at that time, they had these really awesome French fries that were horribly bad for you. I can't even remember. They were just like stacked with all kinds of like chili and cheese and a bunch of other stuff. And they called them Figaro fries.
And deliciousness.
Yeah. And unfortunately, last time they weren't making those anymore, which is a crime. Now it's like flatbreads and stuff like that.
About a 180.
Yeah. Not that flatbreads are a bad thing, but they are not Figaro fries, Disney. I want my Figaro fries. So you do have that counter service place over there, and that pretty much covers that side of Disney. So, or that side of Fantasyland, and actually that entire side of the park we have now covered. And so now we can move on through the center of the park and over to the other side of Fantasyland and the new Fantasyland.